This story takes place a long time ago, far away. There was a Jew, his name was Shimon, very poor. What did he do for a living? He was digging clay. In other words, he was digging in sticky dirt. And he would take the sticky dirt, or maybe it was dry dirt. When you add water, it gets sticky, and you make clay out of it. And he would sell this kind of dirt to people that want to use the dirt for clay. They make clay pots, clay dough. I don't know if it's clay dough or play dough, but you know, whatever they would use clay for, to make dishes, to make pots, or bottles, the kind of stuff they made clay out of, the kind of stuff they made out of clay. You know, sometimes they burned olive oil in clay to get light, whatever they would use clay for. Maybe they would smear stuff with clay. Well, you can imagine this is not exactly the highest paying job in the world, to sell special dirt to people. So Shimon, I'm not calling him Reb Shimon, his name was Shimon, who was very poor. Shimon was very poor. And he did not have enough money for his family. And he would say to his wife, I wish I had more money for the family, so you could have nicer clothes and the children could have better food and they would have enough things. And his wife said, don't worry, Shimon. Hashem will help. Everything will be all right. And that made Shimon feel better, and he was able to go out another day and work digging the clay, putting it into a bag and schlepping the heavy bag to the town and selling the clay to people and getting a few pennies. And then buying some bread and some onions and some milk for the kitties, and that was about it, day after day, except for Shabbos. And Shabbos, maybe they would have a little piece of fish on the tish, or a little piece of chicken, or once in a while, maybe Yontif, a little piece of meat. And sometimes a nice potato. Can you imagine getting excited? Oh, we got a potato today. Because usually they didn't get a potato, just the bread. And the Kinelach were very hungry when they went to bed. One day, Shimon is... What'd you say?
Arachmanis.
Yeah, Arachmanis. One day, Shimon is digging in the dirt, digging in the clay, and his shovel all of a sudden hits something hard. It makes a hard noise. Bink! Usually I don't hear that noise on my shovel because the clay is soft. And in the place of the clay were usually no rocks, just the soft dirt. But his shovel hit this hard thing. He says, what is that? He picks it up. Well, looks like a rock. And he was almost about to throw it away when all of a sudden he sees, wait, is that glass? Looks like a piece of glass. He dusts it off. He dusts it off with his shirt. Then he holds it up to the light. This is a shiny rock. This looks like glass. Wait a minute. Glass? How would glass get so deep into the ground? Wait, this is not glass at all. Could this be a diamond? Now, a diamond, when it comes from the ground, does not look like a diamond that's already in a ring or a necklace or earrings or something.
It's a treasure.
Well, a diamond is a treasure. The way the diamond comes from the ground, it looks like a rock, but it's it's special. And later on, when they cut it, when they cut the diamond, did you ever see a cut diamond with all those faces? That's when it gets all shiny and beautiful. Well, later on, he took this rock into the town to a friend of his who is a jewelry man. And he could trust him because he's a friend of his. And he showed this rock to the jewelry man, and the jewelry man almost fainted when he saw it. He could not believe his eyes. His eyes were popping out of his head after he almost fainted. He says, "This is a gigantic raw diamond. This is a stone that's really a diamond that's uncut. And if you would take this to the diamond market, because I cannot pay enough money for this diamond, this diamond is a treasure of money. If you take it to the place where they really, if you take it to the diamond market where people work with diamonds, somebody will buy it from you. And then later on, they're going to cut the diamond. And it's going to be worth thousands and thousands, if not tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not $1 million. It depends exactly how the experts tell what kind of a diamond is inside. There are different kinds and different levels of how good a diamond is. But you have to cut it in order to get that beautiful diamond that's all shiny with all the different sides. Now what I wanted to tell you was this. Now listen to this. Do you think it's easy to cut a diamond or it's hard to cut a diamond? Okay. It is a very big deal to take a raw diamond and to start cutting it exactly in the right place that you should get all those beautiful sides. Because if you make a mistake and you cut it wrong, you could ruin something that otherwise could be worth thousands and thousands of dollars. You could ruin it by cutting it wrong. Now, just like anything, there are people that are good at it, and then there are special experts that have a special koyach to be able to cut diamonds, a special like talent. Now, what I was going to tell you was this. When I was in yeshiva, a long time ago in the olden times when I was young, not old, right as now, there was a certain boy that came to yeshiva. I'm telling you a true story that I never told because it never came up until now in this story. All of a sudden in this story came up with this story. Two stories in one. And this is true. There was a boy who came to the yeshiva, and this boy, yeah, well, it was not a class, it was like older boys' yeshiva when they learn in the Zal. And this boy came, well, yeah, we had classes too. This boy had a farshtupte cup. He could not learn very well. He was not smart, or at least nobody thought he was. You'd learn a simple thing with him, and he just could not understand it. You'd go over and over it. He could not understand. If it was very simple, he could understand. If it was a little bit not simple, he just couldn't get it. And Chas v'Shalom, if you judge him not in a nice way, you might have, you know, certain like not good feelings, or you could, you know, think that this boy is just not smart at all if you don't judge him right. And everybody thought, what's going to be with him? He was definitely the bottom of the class. He could not understand. A klutz. A head like a klutz, like a piece of wood. A rachmanis. What became of him? What can he do? Whatever can a person like that do? Now let me tell you right now. This man got married when he got older, and today he is a millionaire. Why is he a millionaire? I'll tell you why. He got married, he needed a job. He's got to take care of his wife. Most jobs, he just didn't have the head for it. He wasn't smart enough. One day, somebody who had Rachmanis on him said, you know what, I work in diamonds. Come with me, let's try to give you a job in diamonds. Now, exactly how he started in cutting diamonds, I don't know. All I know is that they tried to get him to learn how to cut a diamond. And he started cutting diamonds. Now, for whatever reason, he was able to cut diamonds and figure out exactly where to cut the diamond. He would take the diamond and he would do all the things the experts do to figure out, and he would start cutting the diamond, and he never made a mistake, and he always cut the diamond in the right place, and he cut it perfectly. And once in a while, the other diamond cutters would make a mistake and ruin a good diamond. And they saw he never ruined the diamond, and he did a perfect job. Then once in a while, they got a very complicated diamond that the other people could not figure out. They were afraid to start cutting. They would say, hey, let's give it to so-and-so, whatever his name was, I'm not going to tell you. They would go over to him. Now, sometimes, and now it's known, these experts will take a diamond and study the diamond for a whole day, for 2 days, for a whole week, hours and hours, and they would try to figure out, where should I start cutting the diamond? If I cut it over here, I might break it. If I cut it over here, it might not come out right. And they have all these ways of figuring out, where should I put the first cut in the diamond? And sometimes they would spend hours and days and weeks on studying the diamond. They would take it to this man. He would take the diamond, he would look at it for a few minutes, and he would cut it perfect. He became the biggest expert of cutting diamonds in his whole city. And of course, if you're an expert, so people want to have a good diamond cutter, and they're willing to pay for it because diamonds are worth a lot of money. He got the best job in the best place cutting diamonds, and he got the most money from all the diamond cutters, and today he's a millionaire. Because this man has an expert power to cut diamonds and to figure out diamonds. This is a true story. Now, can you ever judge a person? Can you ever judge a person not in a nice way? Or you have to know that everybody has a certain thing they can do. Everybody has a certain thing they can do. This is just a little thing inside of the story, but it's important to know. Everybody has a certain special thing they can do, and maybe right away you can't figure it out. It's like a diamond itself. On the outside, it's like a rock, but when you get inside in the right way, it's beautiful. This man, people thought, he's a rock. He's just like a stone. But this was a stone that when you cut it the right way, it's a beautiful diamond. You just have to find the right thing inside of it. Okay, are you ready to go on?
Yeah.
Now, I forgot to tell you one thing, and I'll put it back in the story. Shimon's wife used to say something that her mother and father taught her. And her grandmother and grandfather taught her parents. And that was a saying of the Tzemach Tzedek, Tracht gut, vetzayin gut. Think good, it'll be good. And when her husband Shimon would get feeling sad, they don't have enough money, and they would like to have more things, and they can't afford it, and he would get to feel chas v'shalom depressed and sad, she would smile and she would say, Shimon, tracht gut vetzayin gut. Just think good, it'll be good. Hashem will help, you'll see. Don't get down, you're trying your best. You're going to work every day and trying to help the family. It's hard to find a better job. Don't worry. Think good, it'll be good. And Shimon would try to say that to himself. I'll think good, it'll be good. He found this diamond. His friend told him, around here you'll never get the kind of money you should get for such a diamond. Shimon said to his friend, where should I go? The friend said, go to London. You know where's London? London is in England. Shimon says, that's far away. And the friend said, look, it's far away, but it'll be worthwhile for you to go there. Because if you go there, that's where the biggest diamond market is, and that's where the biggest experts are, and they'll pay you the kind of money you should get for this big diamond. Around here in the small places, you'll never get as much money as you could if you go to London. Go to London and everything will be okay. Okay, Shimon says, I'm going to go to London with Hashem's help. He went home. Shimon packed up his stuff, whatever stuff he has. And he goes now to where the boats are. And he goes to the place where you buy tickets. And over there is a sign for different places, wherever you want to go. And one of the signs says, London. London, England. He has to buy a ticket from the ship going to England. And then he has to go where, when he gets to England, and he has to travel to London. Now London is not exactly on the ocean, but it's on a river, so maybe he can get there that way, whatever way they get there, but he's got to go to London. Okay, it says $100 a ticket. What? $100? I have not even $1. I just got this diamond. But I'm not going to give a diamond to get to England, because the reason I'm going to England is to sell the diamond. If I give the diamond to go to England, I won't have the diamond. So what am I doing in London? What am I going to do? He goes to the man, I have to go to London. Yeah, okay, so $100 a ticket. I don't have $100. Well, I guess you're not going to London because you don't have $100. Yeah, but I have to go. I have a diamond. Very good, you have a diamond. Now buy a ticket. You have to buy a ticket, you know? Yeah, but I don't have the money yet. When I get to England, when I get to London, then I'll sell the diamond and I'll have the money for the ticket. Okay, so when you get to London, you'll buy the ticket for London. But you can't go there till you have a ticket. And if you don't have the money, you can't get a ticket. Well, Shimon is in a big pickle because he doesn't have enough money for the ticket. All of a sudden, he sees the crew is boarding the ship. What's the crew? Anybody know what the crew is? What's a crew, yeah? The crew, that was the bird that flew out from the Teva. Noach took the crew and he made it go out from the Teva. That wasn't a crew, that's a crow. That was the the oirev. Okay, what's a crew? Not a crow, a crew. What's the crew?
Something like a captain.
Okay. What's like a captain?
A captain is in charge of a boat.
What's a crew? Okay, he's right. All the officers and the captain and who's ever in charge of the boat, all those people are called a crew. He saw now the crew. And he saw the captain. How can he see the captain? How can he tell who's the captain? If he's looking into the crowd of people, how can he tell who's the crew anyway? How does he know the crew is coming?
They're wearing the fanciest clothes.
They're wearing, very good, they're wearing uniforms, right? They're wearing the fancy uniforms. Now, of all the crew in their fancy uniforms, who would be wearing the fanciest and schmanciest uniform?
The crew.
Which of the crew will be wearing the best uniform?
Captain!
The captain. He's got medals and badges and stripes and a special hat and gold stuff, maybe a sword. What else? A pirate hat? Well, if he's a pirate captain. A peg leg? I don't know. Okay. Just then, as it is the way of Hashgacha Pratis, and of course, otherwise the story couldn't go on unless something happened over here. But it did happen. The captain was walking to the ship together with his crew. The captain is coming with his crew. And he hears all this arguing by the ticket window. And the captain is walking right by. And he says, what's the problem over here? I'm the captain of the ship going to England. What's the problem over here? This man can't get a ticket? Well, he says he doesn't have money for a ticket. Well, you have no money. You can't go on the ship. And then the man says, but he says he has a diamond in his pocket that he's going to sell in England, and he'll have a lot of money when he gets to England. And the captain says, oh, sure. You have a diamond in your pocket that you're going to sell when you get to England, and you can't afford a ticket. That makes a lot of sense. Shimon says, it's true. You want to see my diamond? And the captain says, sure, show me your diamond. And he takes out of his pocket, and he shows the captain the diamond. Ooh, whoa, that is a diamond. I know a little bit about diamonds. That's a really good diamond. When you get to England, you could sell that for a lot of money. Yeah, Shimon says, but if I don't get to England, I won't be able to sell the diamond. And I don't have enough money to get a ticket to go to England. And the captain says, I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's make you and me a deal. I will let you go on the ship, and I will let you have the ticket right now. But you're going to have to pay a special price, because right now it costs $100. But if you pay when you get to England after you sell that diamond, you're going to have to pay me the price that I tell you for the ticket. Otherwise, you can't get a ticket. Shimon says, okay, how much should I pay you? He says, $1,000. What? $1,000? He says, look, when you sell this diamond, you're going to get thousands of dollars. So what's it going to be to you, $1,000? So you pay me $1,000, I let you go on the ship. That's a deal. Otherwise, you can't go on the ship, and you won't be able to sell the diamond. So what's it going to be worth to you? Now, is this a nice captain or a greedy captain? This is a greedy captain. What kind of a captain is this?
Greedy captain.
Greeny? Is green? Is a green captain?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a greedy captain. But Shimon has no choice, so he says, okay. And the captain gets him the ticket, and on one of the part of the ticket that you tear off, he writes down $1,000, and he gives it to Shimon. Hey, remember, when you get to England, $1,000, that's what you owe me for the ticket. Well, Shimon was thankful to Hashem that at least he was able to get on the ship going to England with his diamond. And the captain says, look, for $1,000, you're also going to get a nice room, and we're also going to give you good food. I see you're a Jew, and there's good kosher food on this ship. You go to your room, and I'm going to tell the servants to bring you supper. And they give Shimon a room on the ship, a nice room. And they gave him now a beautiful meal. And they even gave him a bottle of kosher wine. Oh, Shimon says, I'm so happy. I haven't eaten food like this in such a long time. And even wine like this, I haven't seen for a long time. And Shimon sat down to his beautiful meal and his bottle of wine. And he decided he's going to take his diamond out to look at it while he's eating, to make him happy. Isn't that a wonderful squeak? Sometimes people say, Ryan Burstyn, you should make sound effects on the tape. Well, now we have built-in sound effects. We have a squeaking wagon. Listen to that irritating noise. It's kind of like a dentist drill, or somebody taking their finger in your side and going like that. Okay. It's better than the doggies that used to be outside of my room a few years ago. Every time I tell a good story, you know who's there? The doggies. Now we have a squeaky wheel. Shimon took out the diamond. He put it on the table on a little plate. And he's looking at the diamond. And he's eating and he's drinking wine. And he's feeling so happy. And he's dreaming about all the money he's going to get when he gets to England. And he takes another glass of wine, and he eats some more, and he looks at his diamond, and he's happy, and he's feeling so good. And he drinks some more wine, and eats some more, and looks at his diamond. And after a while, he starts getting very tired. And he's getting very sleepy. And he's putting his head down on the table to get a little bit of rest. and he falls asleep. And as he falls asleep, his head is going down on the table, and his hand, he sticks out to make a pillow for his head out of his arm. And his hand pushes the diamond off of the little plate onto the tablecloth. And as his head goes down, his salad bowl tips over, and the tomatoes and the lettuce and the carrots and the salad dressing spill on top of the diamond. So you see a pile of salad on the table, and you do not see a diamond. And Shimon is sleeping with a big smile on his face. And the door opens, and the servant comes in. "Time to clean up, Mr. Shimon. Glad you enjoyed your meal. Oh, you fell asleep. Don't worry, I'll clean up without disturbing you." And the servant goes, and he takes off the dishes. And as was his custom, he dumps all the garbage on the tablecloth. And that's what he did. The problem was, what was in the pile of garbage on the tablecloth?
Diamond.
The diamond. And the servant takes the tablecloth, and instead of course walking all the way to the garbage can, wherever it was, he goes over to the side of the ship. It's going in the ocean. And he shakes the garbage into the ocean. And the chicken bones fall down. And the little pieces of salad fall down. And the tomatoes fall down. And the carrots fall down. You know what else falls down into the ocean?
The diamond.
The diamond fell into the ocean. And Shimon is sleeping happily on his table. And Shimon was asleep on the table, thinking and dreaming sweet dreams about diamonds and money and all the things he would buy for his kindalach and his wife, and of course give tzedakah and be able to live and have the things they need. And in the morning, Shimon woke up. He lifted up his head. He said, "Moide ani." He rubs his eyes. Well, actually, I don't know if he washed Nagelwasser. I didn't prepare it. He's got to wash Nagelwasser. Should you rub your eyes before you wash Nagelwasser? No. He's got to figure out some way to wash Nagelwasser. Well, Shimon wakes up at the table and looks around. "Oh, yeah, where am I? Oh, yeah, I'm on the ship. Oh, yeah, Baruch Hashem. I'm on my way to England. Oh, yeah. I didn't have money for the ticket, but the captain said I could pay later. $1,000. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm taking the diamond to England. Right, I'm in my room on the ship. Oh, boy, what a headache. Oh, I drank wine for the first time in a long time. Such good wine and that good meal. Yeah, the captain gave me all this good stuff because I have the diamond. I put it on the table while I was eating. Where's all the stuff?" "Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Where's all the food? Where's all the stuff? Where's the dishes? Where's the diamond? Where's the diamond? Wait a minute. The diamond. Where is it?" He looks around. Looks on the floor. Looks in his pockets. "Didn't I take the diamond out of my pocket and put it on the table? Wait a minute. There was a tablecloth and they set the table and there was food. Now there's no tablecloth and no dishes and no food. And there's also no diamond. Wait a minute. What happened? The diamond's gone. It must have got taken away with all the stuff." And Shimon starts to crack up and go nuts and lose control. And what's he going to do? At first, now this is very important. At first he wanted to scream, yell, cry, run around and run out of his room and scream and yell and cry. and then start telling everybody he lost his diamond and go tell the captain that the diamond is gone. Now that's at first, the first feeling. Do you think that's a wise thing to do? All of a sudden just to go and crack up and lose control, cave in and get nervous? No. That was a certain feeling. But, now this is very important. Another voice came into Shimon's head and another feeling came into his heart. He says, wait a minute. Before you crack up, instead of to all of a sudden lose control, get nervous, crack up, go nuts, cave in, cry, scream, and think everything is terrible, Shimon says, let me get a hold of the situation. First of all, my wife always tells me, when there's a trouble or there's a problem, tracht gut, that sign good. Think good, it'll be good. Also, instead of just to cave in from everything at once, let me sort it out and figure out what should I do.